It's the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, presented by NutraMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401.
And welcome back. We have the amazing guest, Professor Bill Warner from PoliticalIslam.com. And he's here for two segments. And because he's given me some interesting topics, I'm going to let him roll to cover issues like how do we deal with the political advocacy or activity. I guess he's not online yet. So we should have him online shortly. What issues can we talk about with him? And again, the issue is political Islam, BW, or Political Islam, his website. He talks about a couple of things. What Muslims would assume, for example, why do Muslims not assimilate with American culture? And you can visit, of course, the bookstore. We have Sharia Law, the abridged Quran. Of course, all of these things are available. And people can kind of get if you want to call it the fact, is one of the things that goes on here is one area that we need to talk about is Raymond Ibrahim, author of Sword and Scimitar, was to give a lecture on Islamic war against the West of U.S. Army War College. The talk was canceled due to complaints about Islamophobia, more ignorance and cowardice, of course. There's a return to reparations for slavery. We must talk about the fact that every slave in the U.S. came from Muslim slave traders. That's the facts. Slavery was ended by Christians. And interestingly, slavery is still accepted in Khalid Islam and the Islamic countries. And, of course, there's to your knowledge, there's no university seminary that teaches the doctrine of Islam and history of Islamic conquest of former Christian nations, including the seven cities in the Book of Revelation, are all either Islamic now or the Christian city doesn't even exist. Christians choose not to convert Muslims. Instead, we tend to find we have interfaith bridge building. And I hope we have Professor Bill Warner now. We're trying to get him on the... not yet. Okay. So, gee, that's really unfortunate. Let's get our second guest, and Rob Roselli, and we'll keep on trying to see if we can get Professor Warner, because we did confirm him, but maybe he's spaced or thought it was a different day. But he did send me an email confirming that we were ready to go. All set. So those are, you know, how do we deal with Muslims running for office? Firstly, I don't think we should allow voting for Muslims. I think we should have a moratorium on Muslims coming into the country. And when 52% support Sharia law, the 10.6 Muslims in America in their own internal poll, and 20% would use violence against fellow Americans that voted by Islam, it indicates we have a very serious problem. We also need to start closing Muslim places of worship that preach to first and second and third generation Muslims to be violent against fellow Americans or to do Sharia law. And again, Sharia law literally trumps state law, city law, and national law in America and the Constitution. And we see also honor killings, where if a Muslim girl does something that the parents don't approve or the father doesn't approve, they kill them. This is happening all the time. We also have to understand that Christians don't understand this fact that the Hadith and Quran, which you can get at politicalislam.com, preaches that if you... we got Professor Bill. Good. Professor Bill, I'd like you to go through your list here. I have an excellent letter, and you have only two segments, so I want you to have the stage here. You did mention some very important things like Raymond Ibrahim and the sword and scimitar. You mentioned the issue of slavery. First. Yeah.
And by the way, later on, a topic we want to discuss is why I am anti-Islam, but I'm not anti-Muslim. That's another one to talk about a bit later.
Oh, yeah, please.
Raymond Ibrahim is a fine scholar on the subject of political Islam. He has the attribute of being from Egypt, and his native language is Arabic.
Right.
So he can always answer yes, do you read and speak Arabic, which is yes, that's my native tongue. So anyway, he wrote a wonderful book called The Sword and the Scimitar, and it takes five battles that happened between Islam and the civilized world, and so it was a good book. And somebody at the U.S. Army War College decided, you know what, since we seem to be involved in wars dealing with Muslims, perhaps we should look at Islamic war doctrine as it's manifest in its practice. Seems like a reasonable solution, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
But it's not done very much. And as a matter of fact, it wasn't done this time either, because once the U.S. military war, the U.S. Army War College decided they were going to have Raymond Ibrahim talk on Sword and Scimitar, Battles of Islam. The CARE, Committee on American Islamic Relations,
right,
a so-called civil rights organization, got hold of the War College and said, Raymond Ibrahim is nothing but an Islamophobe, and you're an Islamophobe if you let him give this talk. So what did the world's mightiest army do? They buckled at the knees and says, oh, my goodness gracious, we don't want to be Islamophobes, so therefore we will not let Raymond Ibrahim come and talk and give battles of Islam. Now, how stupid is this?
Yeah.
Because here we have a military, and let me assure you that I've dealt with the military to some degree, and the higher you go, the less they know.
Right.
That is, if you're talking to some gunny sergeant who's done time in Afghanistan, he knows far more about Islam than a four-star general does.
Right.
And so here we have people who are, let me give you an example of how bad this is. General Stanley McChrystal, who under Obama was going to be the number one cleanup batter, and we were going to take care of Islam. So he published a little document that was called, basically laid out a strategic plan on how to beat Islam in Afghanistan. Now, this turned out it was a political document, and so it was redacted and released to the public. Guess what words did not occur in General Stanley McChrystal's strategic battle plan to win in Afghanistan? The following words did not occur in this document. Those words are Muslim, jihad, and Islam, or Sharia.
You're kidding.
Now, if you write me a battle plan on how to defeat Islam in Afghanistan and you don't mention the word Islam, you don't mention the word Muslim, and you don't mention the word jihad, you know what I figure is going to happen? I figure your plan is not worth the paper it's written on. Now, call me a bigot or call me an Islamophobe, but that's what I thought when I read General Stanley McChrystal's document. And by the way, by those who've been with him in combat, they agree that he's a fine warrior. But something I've learned in this business, Dr. Bill, is that you can be brave enough to charge a machine gun nest, but that doesn't mean you're brave enough to stand up and make a statement in public. So that's sort of a long rant.
That's very true.
Talk because our U.S. military is officially ignorant.
Right.
They're not just casually ignorant. They're professionally ignorant. And it's a tragedy for us and our civilization. So there's my talk on Raymond.
Wow. What about the reparations for slavery? And you mentioned a little bit of this last time, but I want you to expand on that, please.
Well, I'm kind of a picky on this because I spent 8 years as a college professor at a black university. Now, oddly enough, as a man who participated in civil rights in the 60s and taught at a black university, guess what people sometimes call me? Of course, I'm a racist.
Oh, yeah. Which is not true at all, right?
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you that here I am. And by the way, as a faculty member at the black university, did I tell you that I was elected chair of the faculty senate? So I was obviously a rampaging racist. I mean, it had to be big time known.
Oh, come on. But, you're funny.
So anyway,
you're a comedian too, right?
What has Wright and Mike got to do with each other? What's Wright got to do and Mike's involved?
Right.
But anyway, I noticed that the only doctrine of the history that they spoke of was what I call the West African evil white man on his wooden ship theory of slavery. And if you read history with an open mind, you'll discover that I am unable to find any civilization that not in some way used slavery, whether it's the Native Americans, the Chinese. I mean, do you know what really finally eliminated slavery was, of all things? A better slave called the engine, the steam engine.
A machine.
Because it turns out slaves are difficult to deal with. You have to, for one thing, you have a moral problem. When they get old, what do you do? How do you retire them?
Right.
So, anyway, so I became very interested in how at this black university, how they saw slavery. And they saw slavery as only having one thing. That was, it was about white people in America and the west coast of Africa. And what's interesting is that the slavery on the west coast of Africa was only one-third of the slave trade. And it's funny, when they study slavery, it always stops with the evil white man on the wooden ship. It does not go any earlier than that. It doesn't ask any questions. Well, where did the evil white man on the wooden ship, where did he get his slaves?
Right.
because he sure didn't get off the boat and go into the bush and round them up. I mean, you know what sailors do? They sail boats.
Right.
It's like truck drivers drive trucks. So anyway, it's a very limited view of slavery, and the evil of it is it doesn't let us see the truth of slavery in its biggest picture. So.
And by the way, slavery is still worldwide in many different countries now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Especially Muslim countries.
There are slaves in Mauritania right now. I went to a talk at Vanderbilt University, which is here in Nashville, Tennessee, given by a former slave. Now, you would think that at a university where a former slave is going to give a talk, that black Americans would be interested at the talk, because here is a man who's actually been there. There was not one in the room. All the people in the room were either Arab or white. So they didn't even want to hear the truth of the matter. And by the way, the black slave was not treated. When Muslims do talk about slavery, they say, oh, you know, being a slave in Islam is almost as good as having a full-time job with full health care benefits.
Oh, yeah.
Some other such description. Now, the slavery that was in the United States was evil, but the slavery that was under Islam, well, that was a good thing. So here we have a situation where we can't even tell the whole truth about anything when it comes to slavery, and I think that it's something that needs to be talked about and explained.
Right.
Particularly, we want to stop having it today, and it's still happening in Africa today.
Why do you think Islam included slavery as an okay thing? You know, that
well,
seems kind of
bizarre. Good reasoning here. What is the only thing that's important to Islam? Muslims.
Right.
Well, now then, there's only one. The Kafirs are the only ones who can be made slaves. You're not supposed
right.
to enslave another. You're not supposed to enslave another Muslim. Now, of course, they do it, but you're not supposed to.
So in other words, you enslave people that are not of your so-called ilk, if you want to call
right.
it.
Right. But the beauty of it is, and here comes the beauty of it is, the only way for you to be given your freedom is if you become a Muslim.
Ah.
So do you see the virtue of slavery now? Once you're a slave, you have a chance to become a Muslim. And of course, being a Muslim is better than being anything else.
Right.
So the virtue of slavery in the Islamic world is that you can become a Muslim in order to stop being a slave.
That's why, of course, they tax the people. They have these taxes in Islam for, say, Christians, which is why all the cities of the Book of Revelation are now either Muslim or don't exist, because they tax them into
yes.
becoming Muslims and go from a lower class state where they're being taxed by the Muslim state and the controllers, and now they've either converted to Islam. Or their cities don't exist anymore. The Christian cities are gone that were in the Book of Revelation.
You know, the great tragedy of what you just said, Dr. Bill, is simply this. You'd have to go talk to a lot of people sitting in church pews for anyone to know that what you just said is true.
Right.
So, it is. I'm an odd person. I don't condemn Muslims, but I condemn people who should know Islam. And
right.
I include in that ministers, rabbis, and other such people. I think that every Christian should know the subject of Islam, because it is Islam that brutalizes Christians in the world today.
Well, I think it brutalizes Muslims.
For their brothers and sisters.
It brutalizes Islam, too. In fact, the two different factions, Sunni and Shiite, abuse each other. And there's a group
You know, there's several forms of jihad, and one of those forms of jihad is what I call the jihad of purification, which is, you're not a good enough Muslim, so therefore you can be killed, because you're not really practicing Islam. And, of course, the Sunni and the Shia love to kill each other, or at least history demonstrates that.
I'd like to ask you a question that I got raised a few days ago by one of my experts. It's the idea of 12, there's believing the 12th Imam being the Mahdi. And it turns out that this is a very important issue for especially Shiite Muslims from Iran. Please tell us about it.
Well, we're getting off into the religion, which is not my strong point, but it goes like this.
Well, I'm looking at the political side of it, because they believe they need to bring about a major war to bring about the Islamification of the world.
Okay, now we are in politics, so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
There are various forms of Shiite Muslims.
Right.
And Shiite just means the party of Ali.
Right.
What we have here is we have a civil war that was started there as soon as Muhammad died, basically. The division started happening within Islam as to the different parties, and his doctrine that all Muslims were brothers was not so much followed.
Keep that thought. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes with amazing Bill Warner, and go to politicalislam.com. Get the books, get the materials, support what he's doing.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Legacy Emergency Foods is the top recommendation from Dr. Bill Deagle. For the lowest oxygen concentration, the largest entrees, the highest amount of protein, the most varied entrees as well, and the longest food storage life. Nothing like Legacy Emergency Foods, and if you place a regular monthly order, you get 20% off and free shipping. Do get emergency foods for your supply for preparation, and get it from Legacy Foods. Contact Dr. Bill Deagle for the link at NutriMedical.com. Go to the Shop by Products link and drop down message at NutriMedical.com, and then place your orders for regular emergency food for yourself and your family. Nothing like emergency food if the power goes out and you can't go to grocery stores, or if there's an emergency or a national crisis. So NutriMedical.com, top recommendation, Legacy Foods. NutriMedical.com, go to the Shop by Products and drop down menu, and stay well with NutriMedical every day of your life. Lumen Photon Therapy, infrared light, far and near infrared, is extremely important for pain control, stimulation of nitric oxide, improved perfusion, and stem cell activation and reduction of cytokines. Dr. Bill uses it for pain control, for regeneration techniques, for organ regeneration, and for stimulation of your stem cell activity. This amazing Lumen Photon Therapy this year will probably have an additional device with frequency therapy during the on phase of the lights. To obtain a Lumen Photon machine, contact Dr. Bill at NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. He'll prescribe it with you, providing nutraceuticals to help with your regeneration, healing, and pain control. Nothing like the Lumen Photon Therapy for easy therapy for your eyes, your pain, your joints, regeneration of organs, detoxification of the body. Get a Lumen Photon machine from Dr. Bill Deagle, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well with NutriMedical. The Sonic Life Machine is one of the most amazing therapies that Dr. Bill provides. It is the best sine wave exercise machine on the planet, doing whole body vibration, opening up the muscle to reduce insulin resistance, improve perfusion, release stem cell therapies throughout the body, and epigenetically stimulate the body to release DNA activated. The epigenetic therapy with the sine wave curve of frequencies given for atomic resonance, but Linus Pauling for minerals and amino acids, stimulates the production of messenger RNA to correct structural protein enzyme deficiency for almost every illness. There's nothing like the sine wave therapy for improving body healing for exercise, but also the epigenetic treatments Dr. Bell can provide can help neutralize frequencies for disease states and illness. Get a Sonic Life machine through Dr. Bill Deagle at NutriMedical.com. Contact us at NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871, or go to the website NutriMedical and give us a contact. Dr. Bill is available to help you get well with NutriMedical.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Welcome back. Please continue, Professor Bill Warner.
Well, let me go back to the thing I first started talking about, and then we'll pick up again where we left off.
Yes.
There's one more. Remember, I started talking about the fact that Raymond Ibraham was not allowed to give his talk at the U.S. Army War College.
Right.
And the reason they didn't want to give the talk was it wasn't just that Islam had fought battles against the Persians and the Christians and others and the Hindus, but there was a reason why they fought these battles. And in his book, Sword and Scimitar, by Ibraham, he clearly points out how everything that was being done in these battles, from sex slaves to assassinations and everything else, was all part of the doctrine of Islam.
Right.
So what they didn't mind, so the Muslims didn't so much mind the fact that there was a battle fought at Muta in the year 1634 or something like that. What they objected to was the fact that this was all fought because Allah wanted the Muslims to do this. And Muhammad, the prophet, who was involved in 95 acts of jihad in the last 9 years of his life. So what the CARE did not want Raymond Ibraham talking about was is that when Muslims go to war, it's not just local politics that start the war, but it is Islam.
Right.
It's Muhammad and Allah and the Quran that are involved here in starting these wars. And so that's the reason they really did...
So in other words, you're dealing with not the religious side, but the political side, that Islam calls for a specific kind of war. That's why I mentioned about the 12thers, which means the 12th Mahdi wants war. This is not talking about religion, by the way. This means they want war to bring about the Islamification of the world by bringing out, say, doing an attack missile against Israel to attack Israel with a nuclear weapon. And on the side of the missile, they actually have in read Hebrew, death to Israel, death to America. Islam, and especially the 12thers, believe that they need to bring about this political issue, which has nothing to do with religion, to Islamify the world in terms of the geopolitical control system, isn't it?
Well, you've got that right. And the Mahdi is sort of is supposed to return, and he'll bring about this, and he'll come at a time of chaos.
Right.
So one of the ways, if you're a good Shiite, when you think about it, you think, well, how could we set up a situation that would be attractive for the Mahdi to come back? That'd be world catastrophe. And
right.
So therefore, they see starting a catastrophic world event as just saying to the Mahdi, okay, we have the situation prepared for you, so come aboard. So it's
an intro to the Islamification of the world and the hell on earth of a thermonuclear, scalar, and chemical and biological war. Because remember, the Biopreprat program was transferred to Tehran and to Syria, and so a lot of the Iranians have the biological weapons of the former Soviet Union. And they'll use them.
Oh, yes. So...
We're not talking about religion, by the way.
One of the tragedies is that some women who refuse to wear hijabs, I just saw this as a headline, haven't really read the article, were given 55 years in prison.
Wow.
So anytime you're seeing somebody and a woman, Muslim woman says, oh, I love wearing my hijab, I just love it. Well, you may love it, sister, but if someone else doesn't want it and you're in Iran, then they can go to prison for life just because they don't want to wear your beautiful, wonderful, I love my hijab. So here we have another manifestation of it. Really, my big objection to Islam is the same objection I have to the left, which is they're totalitarian. They
right.
want to dictate every single thing you do.
Right.
And one of those things that I couldn't do is, of course, do what I'm doing if I were living in an Islamic country.
Yeah. In other words, you don't even need to touch on the religious side, which is what you do. You partition it so you deal with the consequences on the physical level in the real world, right?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the theology of Islam. And if there's a paradise and they want to, and they hope they can get there, fine. I'm all for it. I'm not afraid of their hell. But I am. What I don't like is they want to tell me how to run my life. Tell me what kind of food I can eat. Tell me how my tax money should be spent. And by the way, we need to face some facts here. I do discuss political Islam, and one of the things, if you're noticing the history of the United States, you'll go, you know what? You talk about political Islam, Bill, all of a sudden every state has Muslims running for office.
We
vote tomorrow here in Nashville, Tennessee, and one of our choices for councilwoman at large is a Muslim, who will probably win, by the way, because many Christians here in Nashville will vote for the Muslim just to show how tolerant they are and how wide-minded they are.
I noticed that about so-called Christians, and I know people are don't like the word so-called, because when a Christian talks about building a bridge to Islam, they need to evangelize. Even to,
yes.
If you're talking about a geopolitical evangelism, where you don't let them try to take over a nation by Sharia law, even on the political level, not talking even about the spiritual side to it, even geopolitical evangelism, which means, and there's a small faction, I saw them on television here, some doctors, that want to change Islam on the political level, so they don't try to dissuade people away from the U.S. Constitution and the United States Republic, because Islam is like oil and water. It doesn't mix with any republic or the idea of a Judeo-Christian nation. On a political level, we're not even talking spiritual or religious. The fact is, it'll never mix.
One of the officers of CARE, the civil rights organization I mentioned earlier with dealing with Raymond Abraham, is that, oh my goodness, Dr. Bill, I forgot what I was going to say.
You're talking about CARE, about the organization CARE, and how about political Islam, what they do. Of course, they don't want anybody to even raise issues that are even inside your book. For example, you've retranslated in proper lineal time, the time scale of the large, instead of all the large books and being one glop, it explains the transformation of Islam, and it's when in the last 9 years of Muhammad's life he started doing jihads that Islam became a political movement of power or force, because it used violence in order to control people. That's how it grew.
And it works very well, by the way, I'm sad to say. It works
right.
Very well.
And, of course, CARE is a good example. In fact, this so-called Republican congressperson actually quit the Republican Party, was a CARE supporter. Remember that gentleman, Mr. Amash?
Right. And by the way, one of the leaders in CARE said, it is not really possible for a Muslim to be a good Muslim and agree to follow the Constitution, because he said the Constitution is an anathema to God. That is, our Constitution, which... By the way, part of the genius of the Constitution is how small it is.
Right.
But because mostly they were interested in telling you what you couldn't do as well as what you could do. So,
right.
But the Constitution, which I'm very fond of, he said, we can't really go with that because it's just another man-made document. And so, of course, there's a word they have for things that, like the Constitution, which is, we'll give a little Arabic lesson here, is jahiliya, which means of the age of ignorance, which means... Since our Constitution doesn't invoke a law, then it's not worth the paper it's written on, which is a sadness.
Isn't that amazing, though? Where do you think this is going? Because we have the squad now run by Ilhan Omar, and that's not even a real name. We have Talib, and we have the squad basically squeaking like crazy. And I, by the way, what I see happening, instead of women trying to get more freedom inside Islam and turn toward the U.S. Constitution and the rights that they received when they came here as guests of America, we see exactly the opposite. We see them trying to politicize and turn America into Islam. I mean, and it's bizarre. A lot of them are embraced by the Democrats. I call the demon rats. Where do you think this is going?
Well, I know where I would like for it to go and how I work for on a daily basis, which is that people would understand the doctrine of Islam and understand that the word freedom doesn't occur in Islam.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the perfect Muslim is not involved freedom. He is a slave to the Sharia. That's even why a Sharia scholar will tell you that pure freedom comes from being an absolute slave to Sharia, because therefore you don't have to worry about anything. Everything is taken care of. And there are details in the Sharia, which, by the way, which would amaze people. Not just diet, for instance, but how to go to the bathroom. What foot to step on when you go into the bathroom, which always struck me as a piece of minutia which I'd never thought about. That is, if I ask you, Dr. Bill, the last time you went to the bathroom, which foot entered the bathroom first, you probably wouldn't be able to tell me. I doubt that you've thought a lot about that.
I'm sure I never thought of it.
Well, let me give you something else you haven't thought of. I bet you never, the last time you wiped your backside, I bet you didn't know whether it was an odd or even number of times when you finished your business.
That's pretty
Muslim,
amazing.
You do, and you're fully Sharia compliant, you will count the number of times.
Well, this is a sense
of odd.
This is, by the way, mind control, isn't it? It's basically a mind control paradigm, like a Skinner box, isn't it? Let's call it the Islamic political Skinner box. How's that? Do you like that term?
It's And yet, we have to face the fact that it's the number two religion in the world, or adherence to in the world, and it is growing more powerful every day. And it's what really breaks my heart is to see how it's growing more powerful here in the United States. My daughter lives in a suburb south of Chicago, and they've already had the incident where the school board wrote sent a message home with all the kids that no one could bring marshmallows or gummy bears to school anymore.
You're kidding.
Now, why would anybody care about marshmallows and gummy bears? Now, granted, this isn't health food we're talking about here, but nevertheless, it's a candy product.
Right.
Well, the reason is that gummy bears and marshmallows have pork products in them. So therefore, but here's the deal. You would think if my child brought a marshmallow to school, a Muslim child would be responsible whether he chose to eat it or not. Just seems reasonable to me.
Right.
But nope, nobody. Here's the deal. Sharia, Jewish law says that Jews don't eat pork, but it doesn't care whether I eat bacon or not. Sharia law says not only would Muslims not eat pork, nobody gets to eat pork. That's where I have a political problem.
This happened, by the way, in Quebec, where they tried to change the dietary laws 3 years ago in Quebec to all the schools, where a minority of Muslims want to change the dietary laws so nobody can have pork on the menu. You're absolutely correct. This is very strange.
The same thing, by the way, the whole halal business, that is what food you can eat and not eat, is a disaster for the civilization it enters, because what happens is that what Islam wants to happen is that all meat would become halal. You say, well, okay, who cares? So it's halal, it's kind of Muslim, Jewish. But the thing of it is that then the person who handled the meat, you see, once you have halal meat, it can't be handled by a kafir, a non-Muslim. So what happens is the more you accept halal food, the more you reduce jobs for kafirs. So therefore, if you're behind the meat counter and it's all halal meat and you're a kafir, you're not supposed to be able to hand the meat over to someone else because your hands are filthy.
Ah, religiously filthy, so even if they're clean biologically and using proper, you know, plastic gloves or whatever, it doesn't matter because you're unclean spiritually, the meat is unclean then. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and we're not allowed to touch it.
Wow.
So
see, this is an example of the takeover.
What we have here is a totalitarian idea. That is, it's not enough for a Muslim to be a Muslim. It is enough that all other people deal with your Muslimness in a way that's pleasing to you.
So this explains why.
And you don't have a hijab on, and then after you get hired for the job, and it's a sales job, 2 weeks later you come in with a hijab on. Now they're like, well, no, this may be your store and your counter, but I have the freedom of wearing my hijab. And if you don't let me do it, guess what's going to happen? Can you say lawsuit?
Right.
Because you're being an Islamophobe.
So what I see happening here is the Islamification of America. Now, they're trying to take over America just like they're doing Europe and France, for example. I think there's around 7 or 8 million Muslims, and there's no-go zones now. What I see happening in countries where, like in Quebec, Canada, where there are small segments of the population near Quebec City and Montreal, that they try to literally change the dietary law for the entire parts of the province of Quebec, which is a pretty big province. It's bigger than Texas. And people don't understand that what this means is that Islam is literally taking over parts of Europe. They want to take over parts of America. I've heard, actually, from sources that there's Sharia law enforcement in New York City. I don't know if you've heard that, too. But there are basically Sharia law and parallel to the regular law, and they even have their own squad cars and officers to enforce it. Have you heard that, too?
Yes, I have. And what they want to do is to create a system, a civilization within our civilization, but not for the purpose of respect, but as a power base.
Right.
And they're good at it.
What about Deerfield, Michigan?
We're dealing with people here who are very good at what they do.
Right. What about places that are already Islamified? I was born in Detroit, and I have relatives in Michigan. And there's some cities like Deerfield, when they brought over a lot of the Iraqis and so on and Muslims to build the Ford plants, some of these cities and towns in Detroit are basically fully Islamified.
Yes.
And we're not talking about the religious side. We're talking about they have businesses, they have restaurants and so on. These are not necessarily bad people, but their system of operating and integrating with society is very bad because they take over, don't they?
Well, the name Muslim, the word Islam means submit.
Right.
And a Muslim is one who has submitted.
Right.
Now, if that's where it stopped, I wouldn't care at all. Because I don't really care what your religion is, and I do care how you treat me.
Yeah.
What has happened is that it has become such that even whether you're a Muslim or not, you have to live by Muslim rules.
Exactly. The website is politicalislam.com. Go there, get the books, get the materials. This is essential truth.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, MycoD2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutriMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutriMedical. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM-ACAM-A4M of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. At NutriMedical.com, we have the most amazing drinks with the best mouthfeel, highest quality bionutrient exposure to your body to heal and regenerate, and the most powerful persistence of nutrients to heal your body dramatically. We have Ageless, which makes you age less, which repairs your DNA, extends your telomeres, etc. We have Life Support that detoxes phase 2 detox pathways, glucuronidation, sulfation, and methylation pathway support. We have Glycemics that blocks the carbohydrate absorption and helps with diabetes or weight loss, and as well helps with people that are trying to build up muscle using things like our special formulas from Dr. Wolf called Mega Muscles between meals along with Sports Energy Light. We have the amazing NutriComplete, the most complete red and greens drink in the world with the best mouthfeel and flavor. You can often mix it too with Vitamin Mineral Mix, which is our fruit-flavored mix power of vitamins. Stay well with NutriMedical every day.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
And welcome back, and we have one of our co-hosts that we have periodically on the program, Rob Roselli. His website is boxofsunglasses.com. He has several amazing books that kind of use metaphor to explain the geopolitical situation we're in. Welcome back, Rob.
Hey, Dr. Bill. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
tell me, first off, it's been a little while since we had you on. I want you to mention your website, which is boxofsunglasses.com. What's the ontogeny or source of that name? And what are the names of the books that you have out that you can purchase on your website, which is amazing in terms of geopolitical analysis of what the current situation is around America and the world?
Well, the website is boxofsunglasses.com. It's all one word, and that's, of course, in respect to the most provocative, I guess, poignant, appropriate movie ever made. John Carpenter's They Live. It's becoming more and more apparent that some people are really living in that movie. But anyway, so that's the source of that name. And then the two books, of course, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, which traces Hitler, the sources of Hitler. Okay, Hitler was a consummate American liberal. So when the idiots on TV and call Trump a Nazi and people that support him Nazis, it's the exact opposite of what they're saying. I mean,
right.
You know, that documented the Un-American Genocidal Complex, and really it goes from Darwin to the American Eugenics Movement to the American Birth Control League, which was specifically targeted black people. I mean, that's Margaret Sanger. That's what she said. And then we know that organization today is Planned Parenthood. But these liberals are so stupid now that to oppose abortion, which whose main goal was to eliminate the Negro population, in the words of the person, the woman that founded it, to suppose that is called racist. This is how stupid and bizarre the whole thing has gotten. And then, of course, the last book is Pleased to Meet You, which is a conversation, I like to say fictional, but I'm not so sure anymore, between a Satan character and a character named O'Brien, after the O'Brien in Orwell's 1984, and goes through world history.
So, it's not like your upgrade to the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. So it's your version of the Screwtape Letters, a Satan and O'Brien discussion. That's really clever.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's based off Luke chapter 4, where, you know, Satan tells Jesus, you know, he bowed to me, I own the world. And, you know, of course, Jesus did not, but there is a certain segment of this population that has, and I'm going to have to say almost literally at this point, and they are known today as the Federal Reserve System, or the Un-American Genocidal Complex, which basically equates to the money changers of Jesus' day. I mean, the guys he chased out of the temple with whips, and the real power structure behind our so-called government and representative government. And let me just segue basically what Trump is taking his power structure on, and that's why there's such vitriol against him. But anyway.
When you look at the Democratic debates, I call it the demon-ratic debates or democratic debates. Judge Pirro calls them the same thing, demon rats. When you look at the comments and the angry eyes of Mr. Potato Head, Bernie Sanders Claus, and Elizabeth Warren with her angry eyes and screaming and so on, and saying, you got to believe me, these people are power-hungry, demonically energized maniacs. All they want is power, and they don't really care about people or different color or groups of people or subgroups within the Democratic Party or the American population. They could care less, couldn't they?
Oh, they couldn't care less. I like you say, I mean, demon rats. And I'm going to say that literally. I mean, these people, I believe, are demon possessed. There's no other explanation for it. The way they could just get up and lie, and everybody knows they're lying. They know they're lying. The media that kisses their behind knows they're lying. The people watching them know they're lying. And they're pure evil. I mean, this is just pure evil. You know, like I was just saying, I mean, let's say in New York State, they just passed, and a couple other states, they just passed the Born Alive Infant Abortion Act, where basically a baby born alive can now be killed, literally killed. So, you know, and this is what these states are passing now. And for these people to support that, and anybody that opposes that to be called a racist or a Nazi, which is the whole thing's topsy-turvy, Dr. Bill. I mean, again, there's no other explanation for it, no other logical explanation. These people are demon-possessed in the sense of Judas Iscariot. If you go back to the Old Testament, Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh as a representative of the Egyptian god Horus or Thoth,
right.
Greek god Hermes, is in fact a picture of Satan. And then if you go back to Moses and the Ten Plagues, you know, you might read that and say, what's the deal with this guy? I mean, can this guy take a hint? And now it's starting to make sense that these people are shot in the same sense. I mean, they're working for the same God, you know, force. I mean, ancient Egyptians, I call them today Saint Germain or Robert Christian, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, this is what these people have bowed to, and they're literally controlled by Satan. There's no other explanation for it.
It goes beyond normal decency, even if you're not religious. This is a completely anti-human, the human race, anti the survival of a population. And you can see it with the globalist plan with a green agenda. They call it a green dirty agenda, which is 90 to 95% population reduction, like, you know, terrible Ted Turner and the globalists. I mean, and all of these now Democrats support the green agenda. They all do. One form or another. They're all trying to, and then they look at it, oh, you got to believe us. No. Well, who's going to die? How about, I want to get them a t-shirt that says, you first. How about you commit suicide and take yourself off the planet? And then I hear comments by the current husband of the lady that's mulatto, just married the prince over there, and he's saying he's only going to have two children so he can preserve the earth from, you know, too many children being born. They're only going to have two kids. I'm thinking, these people are evil. And when they talk about population control, it's everybody else they want a population control, not them, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly correct. I mean, you know, liberalism is just a quote, soft form of socialism. All that's changing very quickly, and that's a whole other story. But, you know, socialism in terms of soft form of communism, which is really about control and hypocrisy. Of course, I mean, Bernie Sanders wants, you know, minimum wage for everybody except for him, his own staff. It doesn't apply. I mean, they want free health care for everybody, including illegal aliens. But of course, they all have their, you know, their congressional doctors.
Yeah, but what will be the position of doctors and nurses? Will they be slaves? I know when I worked in Canada, let me just add this for a minute. When I worked in Canada, it was fee-for-service, but the fees were very tiny, and you couldn't deviate and provide a care of something other than on those fee codes, or you'd get in trouble with the health care system. The system, by the way, if you got sick or too expensive to keep alive, they gave you lethal injections. They didn't even go to committee. They'd just kill you. I saw it happen to both of my parents who were in Canada at the time. My dad was a Canadian. My mom was an American born in North Dakota. So you got to understand, socialist systems kill you when it gets expensive. And they want to take away the health insurance of 180 to 190 million Americans that have health insurance. I saw it in the ICU. If you ran out of health insurance, they killed you. But you got another 6 months of Vencor, Ventilation Corporation of America. You survived and didn't even need a ventilator. So what people need to understand, innovative integrative medicine is not going to happen under a top-down control system. It's not. You're going to have a menu of items I call embalming care. Do you like that? Instead of Obamacare, I call it embalming care. They're going to start preparing you to be embalmed. They're going to kill you prematurely. They're going to allow toxic food. They're going to put aspartame in your chewable vitamins and minerals and your pills. They're going to make sure your medications aren't properly tested to make sure they're lethal to you. And they're going to make sure your soil is depleted, pesticides are okay, and toxic vaccines are mandatory, right?
That's pretty much it. Look, that's more technical end of things. But again, you know, just to talk in the panoramic, I mean, again, these are children of the devil. I mean, going back to John chapter 8, it's no different. I mean, these are death merchants. And you mentioned the environmental movement, you know, carbon pollution. I mean, you know, that is the dumbest thing. Evolution takes it by a long shot. Anyway, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Well, I'm an environmentalist. I was a great member of Greenpeace. And carbon, our main problem is we're allowing non-recycled material. For example, we shipped a lot of our plastics to Asia to be recycled. They didn't recycle it. They dumped it in the oceans. There's more plastic in the oceans than that dead zone in Northern Pacific Ocean. And so what we need to do is we need to recycle everything. But this idea that we really care about the planet, no. The big banks and the big corporations and the big government and the globalists don't give a damn. And that's why they don't realize that the oxygen concentration has dropped from 21 to 19% at sea level, because we're destroying the benthic layer carbon oxygen cycle. And if you get rid of carbon, that carbon capture, like when I met Dr. Isley back in 97, he's a physicist who owned a veteran cottage and supported the United Nations group called the World Constitution Parliament Association, gave me the Federation of Earth documents, which he gave me. I thought, these people are narcissistically nuts and demonically energized. And they were going to do carbon capture. I'm thinking, if you do that, you can't make oxygen. We need oxygen. Plants need carbon dioxide. That's their fuel. What a plant is, a condensation of carbon and minerals they get from the rhizomes of plant, of agrobacteria, of fungi, and so on, that grow in the soil, and water. That's it. That's what a plant is. That's what the fuel for animals are. And animals are, of course, our food. And if you don't have carbon dioxide, convert oxygen in the benthic layer of the oceans, which is the top 30 feet or 10 meters. 80% of the world's oxygen comes from the benthic layer phytoplankton. And they want to get rid of carbon? These people are evil as hell. And if they did succeed, they would kill us all, wouldn't they? And also, they dissolve the ozone layer, which means we wouldn't even have protection from incoming radiation and X-rays and cosmic rays. That's how bad these people are.
Look, I mean, you know, without getting, you know, in the short time we have, a couple minutes left here. Again, right. Let's just talk big picture here. I mean, carbon pollution. What they're really saying? I mean, look. I mean, we're carbon. Humans, you know, human bodies.
Right.
But when they say they want to get rid of carbon, what they're really saying, and indirectly, they want to get rid of people.
Of course.
You know, that's the evil. And again, these are the people that funded and raised up Adolf Hitler, as I document the un-American genocidal complex. And then, look, Hitler was a minor leaguer. You know, a lot of people out there saying, well, Hitler was the Antichrist and all that. That's great. I mean,
he's just a minion.
He's a low level. He's not even a major league. He's minor league. I'm not saying that to be disrespectful to the people that he did genocide to death. I'm just saying that in terms of contrast with what the real evil in this world is. I mean, these people literally want to kill 90% of the world's population, as specified in the Georgia Guidestones, which I have pictured on the front of the un-American genocidal complex. I mean, this is serious. I mean, look, I'll wrap it up with this. I mean, the Satan that I cover in my books and on my website is infinitely worse than this comic book clown Satan with two horns, you know, sticking people with 3 6s, that these prophets of God out there,
right,
and these buffoons that, you know, on these so-called Christian networks, they, you know, like to call themselves Christians and pastors. He's infinitely worse and infinitely more active, and this is what's really going on. So while everybody's, you know, feel good and all this other kind of, you know, whole kind of crap, happy crap that they're talking about.
Well, they underestimate the devil and the dark side and his minions here on Earth and how late the hour is. I mean, this is very late. For example, we're trying to get through to President Trump, to a lot of people, while he's actually operating. He's approved recycling toxic water with hydrogen sulfide, genetically modified food, and 5G network. These are all demonic things. Yet, I support Trump, and the alternative is the Democrats. I call the demon rats, and like the same name as Judge Pirro. And what you point out, these are not normal human beings. They're indwelt by Satan. I mean, you look at Hillary Clinton and Podesta and all these other people and the high of the secret orders. They do, like on Lolita Island with Epstein, they were doing child sacrifice. Yeah. These are demonic ceremonies. These are the same as the ancient druids. Child sacrifice, like before their owl god in Bohemian Grove. This has not changed since ancient times, is it? The Canaanites. This has not changed in thousands of years.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, this is going back to the Old Testament. People say, well, how could God be so cruel, you know, telling Joshua to go in there and, for instance, you know, take down Jericho and, you know, and kill everybody? But it's starting to come into focus now. And I hate to sound like this, but this is what you're dealing with.
Right.
Or in the case of, you know, we mentioned Moses and the Pharaoh before. I mean, you know, Pharaoh as represents, and the firstborn son of Pharaoh represents the continuation of the line of Satan. I mean, that's
exactly. Visit the website, by the way, boxofsunglasses.com. We'll have the link up on Deagle-Network. Get these books. Get the truth. Start to understand what's really going on. It's not just greedy or self-centered, even sexually perverted people. It's demonically energized. If you don't see the minions of Satan running around in the Democratic debate last night and tonight, you're not paying attention. It's evil. Live backwards. Boxofsunglasses.com. Rob Roselli, thank you for coming on. We'll get you back on soon. And tomorrow's another big day coming up. Gary Richard Arnold, and we will have Dr. Butch Baugh and John W. Springback for a quick update.